Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to another edition of At the Yard. I'm Corey Seidman, and we are presented by Deborah Heart and Lung Center. If it's your heart, demand Deborah. Visit demanddeborah.org. And please subscribe and rate At the Yard wherever you listen to podcasts. On today's show, our Jim Salisbury caught up with super agent Scott Boras out in Las Vegas at the winter meetings for a one-on-one. Boras met with the media for about, 35 to 45 minutes. And just after that, Jim caught up with him for an exclusive interview. And they discussed, obviously, Bryce Harper, Boras' biggest free agent client, but also Zach Britton, one of the elite left-handed relievers the Phillies have been connected to in free agency, and Rhys Hoskins, who is a new client with Boras. Here's the interview.
Scott, last year Philadelphia got its Super Bowl. Now they want to know, are they getting Bryce Harper?
Well, I certainly would understand why the Philadelphia fans would want someone that probably very much fits their audience.
How does he fit that audience?
I just think the Philadelphia fan loves guys who play hard, and they play every day, and they really have a sense and an innateness when they're on the field that they're after it. They're really, you know, you hear that play with your hair on fire. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a very natural part of how Bryce Harper plays baseball.
What does he think of Philadelphia? Obviously, he comes there three times a year for many years with the Washington Nationals.
Philadelphia makes him very happy when he walks into that Citizens Park. He likes to hit there, and he really enjoys the background. And he's very familiar with it and the city, with the ballpark. And so it's a very familiar spot.
Where do things stand with you guys and the team in your conversations, negotiations?
I think every team does their due diligence and they work through it. You know, we have certainly been open and candid about what it is that Bryce's goals and what he wants to accomplish are. And certainly, any team that hears those understands that, yeah, we like players who want to win championships. We like players who want to play at very high levels and achieve historic goals in the game. So those kind of players are driven, and they work hard during the season and the off season, and they really have a place in the game that allows them to achieve just something that most players aren't able to do.
How would you characterize the Phillies' interest at the moment? Are they being aggressive?
Well, I'll let John and Matt Andy kind of address that with you guys, because I think the characterization of what they choose to do and want to do is something that they're best capable of relaying.
Have they met with Bryce? Are there plans to?
Yeah, when I get asked that question, I can only say that our process is that we meet with owners, and we've met with a lot of teams, and we have them display what their true interest is and why, and Bryce certainly welcomes the information, and you have a better understanding of who the organization is and what they are. So,
well, speaking of owners, I'm sure you saw John Middleton's comment about the Phillies possibly spending stupid money. How did that resonate with you?
I don't really associate anything about that word. And John, I think he's a pretty smart lad. And I think the point is that the statement reflects his passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a real passion for what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And it's certainly something that's brought, I think, for every fan of Philadelphia, an idea that they're an ownership that really wants to take, you know, very, very aggressive steps, measured steps to winning.
You've used the term generational player, attaching that to Bryce Harper. It's no secret he's probably seeking the biggest contract in the history of the game. What would you tell John Middleton in terms of why Bryce Harper is worth a deal like that?
I think when you talk, you know, I don't want to talk about John specifically, but any owner in the game wants to do something that is of great value to their franchise, to them personally, and it has to be a good business decision. And in a situation where you can increase attendance, increase franchise value, increase the performance of revenues from the regional sports contract, because you have partners there that you benefit from ratings and advertising, branding of the franchise, and plus the overall dynamic of making having one of the game's greatest players in your marketplace, it just brings constant attention to that team and that brand. So a lot of it is that these decisions are rare. You don't have 25-year-old players who have historic numbers. You know, he's ahead of Bonds. He's ahead of Aaron. He's ahead of even Ruth at his age in home runs. You don't have players like that come along very often. And so your decision-making from ownership and the administration staff, you're going to look back on this whether you get the player or you don't and wonder, when's the next time I'm going to have an opportunity to do this? And did we make the right decision? Do we make the right evaluation? When you have players like this that are, they may come along once every quarter century, you really have to dig deep to understand whether or not you're making the right decision.
How long could this go?
Could be done in a day, and it could be, you know, could be done in a while. So,
Rhys Hoskins, Jake Arrieta, clients of yours, Phillies, have they reached out to Harper as maybe made a recruiting call?
Well, I'm not going to divulge anything, but I think a lot of players wisely, they want their teams to be good. They mm-hmm. want a performance level that allows them to achieve their goals too. So guys like Bryce Harper help you do that.
Once upon a time, going back to the J.D. Drew stuff, it seems like another lifetime, but you were kind of the big bad wolf in Philadelphia. Now you represent Hoskins, Arrieta, Sixto Sanchez. The Phillies are after Bryce Harper. They're also after Zach Britton. Tell us about the connection you have with all these players potentially and currently in Phillies uniforms.
You know, I was actually talking way back when. I played for the Phillies pro team in the winter for a gentleman by the name of Eddie Bachman.
Oh, Eddie, yeah.
And so I wore a Philly uniform, every winter when I had the privilege of playing that program. And Larry Bowen and I were put in the Sacramento Baseball Hall of Fame. And we were talking about, you know, how wonderful Philadelphia's treated him. And for me, when I go there and watch baseball, I love the Philadelphia fans. I love their intensity. I love how they treat the game of baseball. So I have nothing but brotherly love for the whole city of Philadelphia.
Where do things stand with Zach Britton?
Well, like any need, you know, Zach is coveted by a number of teams. And certainly administration of Philadelphia has a broad understanding of Zach, because many of them were in Baltimore and he was there, so they're quite familiar with him and know a lot about him.
And you represent Rhys Hoskins, who, you know, I've covered him now for a few years. I know him pretty well. I think he's the leader of the Phillies. Is there any chance that he might, or you might, work on an extension this winter with him and the Phillies?
Well, my job is I pretty much, you know, when Rhys instructs me to listen to anything the Phillies have to say, and I will, and I'll transfer it on to him, and I'm sure that, you know, he and Jamie will direct me as to how we respond to that. But I agree with you. I think he's just a very rare talent in respect to his intuitiveness, his ability to communicate and articulate and aid the needs of his teammates and communicate with management. He's a very, very special talent in addition to his performance skills in that dynamic, and I'm I think the Phillies will be grandly benefited by his presence.
Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Well, that was Scott Boras, who is never at a loss for words. You know, just to touch on a couple of his clients. Obviously, Bryce Harper is the big one. Jim Salisbury has been reporting over the last couple of weeks that the Phillies seem to be lukewarm on Harper. Zach Britton is someone who they have been heavily interested in and heavily connected to because he's one of the top left-handed relievers in all of baseball. He happens to be available in free agency, and the Phillies need an elite lefty in the bullpen to pair with Sir Anthony Dominguez. Gabe Kapler last season didn't use a traditional closer. He kind of used a bullpen by committee in the eighth and ninth innings. There was a stretch there where Sir Anthony Dominguez was succeeding, and he stayed in that role. And then Sir Anthony started to tail off, so we saw Gabe use Hector Neris at times. We saw him use Victor Arano in the ninth inning a couple times. However, if the Phillies were to land someone like Zach Britton, I would think that more often than not, he would be pitching the ninth inning, especially if you have a tough lefty due up. But a combination of Sir Anthony Dominguez and Zach Britton in the eighth and ninth innings, no matter what order it comes in, that's going to be very productive if the Phillies can put it together because they offer such different looks. Sir Anthony with the high 90s fastball and the good breaking ball, and Zach Britton with that power sinker that has led him to so much success through the years. Britton was not exactly himself in the early part of last season when he came back from injury with the Orioles. But once he got to the Yankees, the velocity picked back up. You know, he was throwing that power sinker around 96, and there should be a lot of confidence from teams that he's going to be able to recapture that late season success. In terms of the contract, it's going to cost a lot. You know, you got to look at last year, the Phillies signed Tommy Hunter and Pat Neshek each to two-year deals worth $16 and $18 million, so $8 and $9 million per year. Well, Zach Britton is way, way, way better than either of them. And he is right to ask for something like at least 4 or 5 years, not that he's necessarily going to get it. There was a report earlier this offseason that Craig Kimbrell, for example, who's the top closer on the market, was looking for 6 years. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what these top-end relievers are searching for in free agency. Phillies fans will remember that Jonathan Papelbon was signed to that $50 million contract. I don't know if it's going to take that much to get Zach Britton, but you could be looking at something like 3 years, $39 million, 4 years, $52 million, something in that vicinity where the reliever is making double-digit millions, and he would probably be worth it, quite frankly. As for Bryce Harper, who really knows at this point? Scott Boras made it a point today when he was meeting with the media to say that not every car in this race is labeled in regards to Harper, which could mean that we haven't yet identified all the teams that are interested in him. And year after year, at this point in the season, at this point in the offseason, we see a mystery team emerge for the top suitors. We know that the White Sox are interested in Harper. The Dodgers are going to have some interest, and the Dodgers are trying to shed payroll right now to open up room for a big star who could very well be Harper. I have said since midway through the 2018 season that I personally prefer Bryce Harper over Manny Machado with this Phillies team just because I think Harper is more of an offensive difference maker. Machado may be the more well-rounded player because he plays a more premium position, has some more speed, can offer things that Harper may not be able to. But Harper, just at bat, the way he grinds pitchers out, the way he hits for power, you never really know what kind of batting average to expect from Harper in a given year. He has a season where he hit close to 330 under his belt. He also has a couple seasons where he's hit 250. Machado fits more of that batting average capability, and the Phillies remain heavily focused on adding Machado. And if they can get Machado to play third base alongside Gene Segura on the left side of the infield, wow, what an upgrade that would be for the Phillies. And just starting to imagine what this lineup could look like with Segura and McCutchen and the possibility of Machado, it's pretty exciting. That's going to do it for today's episode of At the Yard. Tomorrow, Jim and I are going to be back to discuss the Scott Boras interview you just heard, and we'll probably have some more news from you, some more Jay Happ news, and more on these lefty relievers, and hopefully some more information on the megastars and where they may land. For Jim Salisbury, I'm Corey Seidman. Thanks for listening to At the Yard.